Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
We're just singing that song, It's Your Breath in Our Lungs, So we Pour Out Our Praise. Let's think about that for just a moment. Adam and Eve, at creation, God forms Adam from the dust of the earth. And then the Bible says that God breathed the breath of life into Adam. Let's just think about this for just a second. You realize that first exhalation from Adam's lungs was the breath of God itself? You ever think about that? I was just standing out there while we were singing. I was just thinking about that. And then God's word tells us that he gives to all life, breath, and all things. The reason we have breath to even sing praise to him is because God himself allows it to be so. And we are continually breathing in, breathing out because of that first inhalation by God and that exhalation by Adam whenever he was brought to life. Isn't that good? Man, y'all awake? That's some good stuff, right? That's one of the signs of life is that we breathe. And there are other signs of life, vital signs, other signs. Your blood pressure. The fact that you have blood pressure, that's a good thing. People sometimes talk about tension is a bad thing. Too much tension is a bad thing. Too little tension is a bad thing. I've had people ask before. They're like, well, when is tension ever a good thing? Blood pressure. That's a form of tension. If you had zero blood pressure, you're in trouble. All right? You like tension on your tires. Because if you don't have tension on the tires, they are flat. All right? So blood pressure is a vital sign. Breath, breathing is a vital sign. Your body temperature is a vital sign. Pulse. It's a vital sign. So we have vital signs, physical vital signs, signs of life that show that we are alive. At the same time, we have some spiritual vital signs when it comes to our faith. And certain things need to be seen when we say that we have faith. If we don't have those vital signs, it means that our faith is not truly alive. And so today that's what I want us to look at in James chapter 2. I want us to look at the vital signs of faith and what we can learn about our faith and how does that meet up with the idea of works, because that's what we've entitled this series is the faith works. And so we want to talk about what's that arrangement, that partnership between faith and works, and how can we biblically understand that? So we're going to pray and we're going to jump in. So pray with me if you would. Lord God, thank you for life. Thank you for breath. Thank you for all the things that you give us. And Father, today I just pray you would help us to understand what you want to speak to us about. And that anything else that we may be distracted by, anything else that would compete for our attention, I just pray that today we would just, for these moments, just focus solely and completely upon what you would want to tell us. And get me out of the way. Help it just to all be about you. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. James chapter 2, we're going to start verse 14. James writes, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, O foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So James writes, and he's writing about faith, and he's also writing about works. Now I'm just going to go ahead and say, this passage for many years has been a stumbling block for many people. Because they say, but wait, Paul says that we are made right before God, we are declared not guilty before God by faith alone. And then we have James saying, you have to have works. What's that about? And he's saying, faith is not enough. How do we understand that? Well, this morning what I want us to do very briefly, I want us to look at what faith is not, and I want us to look at what faith is, and then I want us to look at the evidence that we have, the real faith. And the first thing we have to understand is that faith is more than just a statement. Faith is more than a statement. Look back in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Notice the operative word there. If someone says he has faith but not works. And then James writes, can that faith save him? Now that one question could be the line that defines this whole passage. Can that faith save him? Can that kind of faith save him? The answer that James is implying here is no, that this is not truly saving faith. Faith is more than just saying it. Notice verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. So faith is not just a statement. There are many people who say, I believe in God. I'm a follower of Christ. I believe this. I believe the Bible is true. But that doesn't cut it, according to James. Faith is more than a statement. Faith is also more than a belief. Now, I realize you say, but wait, faith is a belief. Well, we're going to get to what faith is in a moment. But faith is more than a belief. Look at verse 19. James writes, you believe that God is one, you do well, even the demons believe and shudder. Now, some people say, wait a minute. The demons, that they believe, yes. Think about it like this. This is going to rock some of your boats, all right? So I'm just going to go ahead and let you know. So you've been warned. Demons, Satan, demons largely have an orthodox belief system. Now, they get certain things wrong, certainly. They get certain things wrong, rebel against God. They don't want to follow God. But so far as who Jesus is, they know who Jesus is. So far as what Jesus did, they understand what Jesus did. So far as the power of God, they understand the power of God. So far as God being seated on his throne in all that glory, they get that. They get that much more clearly than most of us get it from time to time. They have an orthodox belief system. It doesn't mean that they're following God willingly or openly, but they understand who God is. This is what James says. He says, you say that there's one God? Well, that's good. You do well. Even the demons believe that. The demons largely have an orthodox theology. But that doesn't cut it. That's what James is saying. Just because you believe, but if you don't do something, if you don't respond, it doesn't count. Faith is more than a statement. Faith is more than a belief. So what is faith? Well, let's look down the next verse here. This is verse 20. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? So we find here throughout this passage that faith produces faithfulness. Faith produces faithfulness. What do I mean by that? Well, faith apart from works is useless. Faith produces faithfulness. This would be a good time to define what is faith. Because you ask people, what is faith? Faith is believing in God. Well, we've seen the demons believe in God. Faith is saying that you follow Christ. Faith is more than a statement. So what is faith? Well, let me give you a definition, and this definition works all throughout the Bible. And there are different words that are used for faith, but here's the best way to understand it when you see the word faith in the Bible. Faith is receiving a report and then having the right response. That's what faith is. Faith is receiving a report and having the right response. So you receive, and then you respond. That's faith. What if I receive a report from God, but I don't do anything about it? That's not faith. Well, what if I do something, but God hasn't told me anything yet? I haven't received God's truth yet. Well, that's not faith. That's just, you're just busy. You may be doing the right thing, but if you haven't received something from God, that's not a report. The illustration I like to use is, let's say I was up on top of a burning building, and it's night, and I can't see anything, and I go to the edge of the building, and I look down through the smoke and into the darkness, and I think, I am going to believe with everything in me that there is somebody down there who is going to catch me. I truly believe, and then I step off the building. Is that faith? No. That's dumb. We all know that. And then I fall down on the ground, and then, you know, there's always that person be like, you just should have had more faith. Well, no, faith is dependent upon receiving a report and then responding. You see, I had an action here, but I hadn't received a report that I was responding to. Now, if I was standing there on the edge of that building and I heard some of you down there, and you said, listen, Dustin, we're down here. We've got a big net, and there's a group of us down here, and I'd want to know, like, who's holding the net? Not because I don't trust you. I just want to make sure you're strong enough, right? I mean, because, you know, I'm about to jump, you know. And we're all down here, and we've got the net, and so-and-so's here, and so-and-so's here, and we've got the net, and we can see you even though you can't see us. And if you step off exactly where you are right now and just trust us, we will catch you. You see, I've received a report, and now I have to respond. What if I'm up there on the building and I say, oh, I've received a report, and I just decide to stay on the building? Well, that's not faith, because it's receiving the report and then having the right response, which is responding to the report. That's the idea of faith. All through the Bible, when you receive a report from God, and then you respond rightly to God. That's the idea. So whenever you read the word faith, just understand, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There it is, right there. How do we have faith? It comes from receiving what God wants to communicate. We hear God's word, we read God's word, we receive God's truth, and then we respond to that truth. So James tells us that faith produces faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is responding in obedience on a consistent basis. So the faith that God works in us will produce faithfulness. But how do we understand this idea of works? Because doesn't Paul say that it's not about works? Well, let's look at a couple of passages, and these are the passages that you most often hear. One is in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Listen to what Paul writes. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Justified, that's declared not guilty. Declared right before God. Declared righteous before God. So by the works of the law, that doesn't happen. But Paul writes in Galatians, it's only by faith. He says the same things in Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. So what are we to make of this? Because James is saying faith apart from works is useless. Paul is saying we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. You've got James saying faith apart from works is useless. Faith apart from the works of law, no one is justified. Well, how do we understand this? Well, it's that phrase, works of the law. That's the phrase that Paul uses in both of those passages. You see, Paul is writing to people and saying, you cannot be declared righteous before God by just your actions. You can't work enough. You can't do enough good stuff. There's no grand scale that at the end of your life, if the good outweighs the bad, then you're okay before God. Paul says that does not work. It's only by faith in Christ. James, on the other hand, is saying, if you have that faith, you've heard from God about who Jesus is, you've placed your trust in him, you are following him and depending upon him, you're having the right response to the report about who Jesus is, then that will produce faithfulness in you. There will be some response that you have. It will come working out in your life. Paul and James are saying essentially the same thing, but they're saying it from two different perspectives. I like to think about it like this. Paul is telling people, step out. James is telling people, step up. Paul is telling people, step out in faith. It's not just about what you do. It's about what you believe because you've received that report and now you respond in faith. You believe that God is who he says he is. You believe that Jesus is who he says he is. You believe that there is no way that you can do enough good things in order to gain the favor of God. It's only by grace through Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. So Paul is telling people, step out in faith. It's not just about what you do. It's about the one in whom you've placed your trust. And James is saying, step up. It's not just about saying you have faith. It's not just about believing the right thing. It's not just intellectual assent. It is going to produce faithfulness in your life. So what do we understand about works then? So if that's the definition of faith, receiving and then responding, receiving a report and responding rightly to God, if that's the idea of faith, then what do we understand about works? What do works do? Well, we find that over in verse 18. The first thing we find is that works prove your faith. Look at verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. By means of my works, you will see my faith. I will show you the works that have been produced because I've received the report from God. And I'm responding in the right way. He says, I will show you my faith by my works. Works are evidence of faith. Works prove your faith. If you say you have faith, but there's no result, there's no response, then you have to go back to verse 14. Can that faith save him? Can that faith save you? Because if there's no works, if there's no response of faithfulness, then that's not true faith. So many times I talk to people and I'll ask them questions. They'll come, they'll talk to me. I'll see people out some places. And it's interesting because a lot of times when people find out I'm a pastor, they always, you know, there's something I've always wondered. You know, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? You know, so one of those. Some of you are just now getting that. I don't know. You don't know that? Well, the Bible doesn't say. Why don't you think the Bible says that? Because it really doesn't matter. All right? More of a curiosity, I think. You know, it's that sort of thing. And so I get all of these different questions that are asked. And sometimes when I start talking to people, they'll make those statements like, well, I just try to do as much good as I possibly can. I figure at the end of it all, you know, God will look at it and he'll try to, you know, he'll try to see that I tried to do well, tried to do good. I do the best I can. I'm like, well, you know, and I talk to him about, you know, what's the idea of faith? Do you believe? Oh, yeah, I believe. I always, you know, I believe in this, and I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus, and I follow him, and I've always been in church, and I've always done these things, and, you know. And then by the same token, they turn around, and then some of the things they say or some of the things they do, maybe even in the same conversation, and you're like, interesting, you know. And then if you ask them about it, they will say this. They'll say, well, you know, nobody's perfect. I'm like, well, true. But I mean, if you say you have that faith, then shouldn't there be certain things that earmark that faith, that show you that you have faith? You know, what's that old thing about, you know, if it quacks like a duck and swims like a duck, you know, and, you know, it's probably a duck. You know, well, I mean, if faith sounds a certain way and looks a certain way and there's certain actions that faith produce and you see all that evidence, you know, chances are that there's a true faith there if it's producing those works. Now, can we be led astray by that? Certainly, certainly. You know, and there are people that, you know, you see, they say they're a follower of Christ and you're looking and you're like, I'm not real sure. And then time shows that they really are. We're all in a process of maturity. You realize if somebody followed you around all day long with a camera, some of you are like, well, I do that to myself all day anyway, right? I take 30 selfies and then I pick the one that looks the best, you know, makes your cheekbones look the best or whatever, you know. You know you do it. Anyway, so I wasn't saying me, I was saying you. I mean, you know, because anyway, But if somebody followed you around 24/7 and they were looking for evidence that you're a follower of Christ, they would probably look and they would go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you would, and they would go, I don't know. Oh, well, okay, yeah, 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 we're back at it. Oh, yeah. We all have those moments where we're not reflecting Christ as fully as we should because we're less than entirely redeemed, right? But at the same time, there should be evidence. It should come out in our living. Our faith should be proven by our works, by the evidence of works. So faith proves our works. Secondly, works prove your faith. Works complete your faith. Look at verse, it should say 21. That's my typo. Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works. And faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. And then it says in verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? So in Genesis chapter 15, you find that God speaks to Abraham and tells Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. Then all the nations of the world will be blessed because of you. And it says that Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham had faith. You see what happened there? Abraham got a report from God. And Abraham responded in the right way. So there it is. That's his faith. But then we find later on in Genesis chapter 22 that God has given Abraham a son, his only son. He has another son, but his son in the correct way, all right, with the way that God had chosen. And he gives him Isaac. And you find that Abraham takes Isaac at God's command to sacrifice him. And when you read through Hebrews, you find that the understanding that Abraham had was that he was going to sacrifice Isaac, and but God was still faithful. I mean, Abraham was going to do this. And even when James says, when he offered his son Isaac, James is writing as though Abraham really went through with it. Such was that faith. But God, we find in Genesis, God stays Abraham's hand, and God provides a substitute sacrifice in a ram that God had provided. And that, of course, pictures how we were going to be sacrificed for our sin, and God provides a substitute. God provides a means by which this all can be dealt with. But Abraham does it by faith. You see, there's a right response to the report. And so James is writing, and he is saying, Abraham received a report from God, and Abraham went and he responded in the right way. Then he talks about Rahab, the prostitute, in the city of Jericho. If you look back in the book of Joshua, you find the destruction of Jericho, but that you find that the children of Israel, isn't that weird? You know, sometimes you have to clarify. You know, children of Israel, that just means all the people of Israel that was held captive in Egypt. Because when I was a kid and I heard people were like, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And I said, where were their parents? All these children wandering around the wilderness. What is going on there? It's just a biblical term, means all of God's people who were Israelites, right? And they were wandering in the wilderness. But they're going into the land that God has promised to Abraham. They're going into that land, and they have a couple of spies that go at one point in time, and they spy out Jericho. And we find that Rahab, a prostitute in the city of Jericho, hides them because word gets out that these guys are coming around, and word has been spreading about what God has done before them to prepare the way. Listen to what Rahab says to the spies. This is what she says to them. This is in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua 2 verse 8. Before the men lay down, so she's hiding them up on her roof. She's laying some flax stalks over them to hide them. It says, before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Wow. She's gotten a report. Okay. I know the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Wow. That's a very strong statement of faith. So she's making a statement. She's heard a report. And now she's telling them that because of that, that's the reason she hid them. And then she says, now then, please swear to me that by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sister, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. Now, I've heard people from time to time, they'll say, yeah, I don't know if that was real faith because, you know, Rahab was just trying to, you know, avoid being killed, avoid being destroyed. Can I tell you how I know it's real faith? Because the Bible says it's real faith. When James says, this is how Rahab responded, in faith. You find other places in the Bible where it says that she's responding in faith. If God says it's faith, then it's faith. There's no argument. So Rahab heard a report about who God is, what he did, what he's capable of, and she had the right response of awe and the right kind of fear of God, and she asked that mercy be shown to her. And that's exactly what happened. So you have Abraham responding to the report. You have Rahab responding to the report. And their faith was made complete by their works. Because you can't have just one side of that coin. There is faith, hearing the report from God, and then there's the work, responding in the right way. And the final thing is, works empower your faith. Look back at verse 17. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from the works, from works, is dead. Works empower your faith. Works are the vital signs of your faith. Your faith is empowered by your response to it. It's proof of the response, or it's proof of the faith. It's evidence of the faith. It's something that completes your faith. You have to have the response to the report, and it is the empowering force of your faith. Because without your response, without those works, that faith is dead. Can that faith save him? The response to that is no. Back in verse 14. Can that kind of faith, is that the saving kind of faith? No. What's the saving kind of faith? The saving kind of real, true, biblical faith is that you have heard who God is. You know who God is. You've received a report about who God is. You've received a report about God sending his son. You've received the report that God has said rightly that we are all hopeless and helplessly enslaved to sin, and that he sent his son so that we could be redeemed. He sent his son so that we could know God and we could have our sins forgiven. And then we respond to him. It's not enough just to hear. It's not enough just to read. It's not enough just to have received that. We must respond in faith and respond to Christ and saying, I am a sinner in need of salvation. It only comes through grace. It's not by the works of the law. It's not by me doing enough good stuff. It's only by your grace, and it's by that faith that I'm placing in you, and I choose to do just that. Maybe some of you need to do that this morning. And maybe some of you would say, there's some areas where I say that I have faith, but I'm not responding in the right way. You say you believe that God is sufficient for all your needs, but you're worrying and fretting, and you're trying to manipulate things to have it go your way by your own power instead of trusting him. Maybe you're concerned about the future, and you're concerned about a decision or a choice that you have to make. And you're sitting there and you're going to all these different places and asking all these different questions of all these different people. And that's good to seek counsel. But maybe you failed to go and spend some time before God and ask God to reveal to you what he wants to tell you from his word. And then respond in the right way. Maybe you're thinking about some sort of big change that's going to take place in your life. And you're looking forward to that. And you need wisdom. And you need the wisdom that only God can give you. Maybe you've made a decision to do certain things. And maybe that is people are looking at you and they're shaking their heads and they're saying, you are absolutely out of your mind. But you know that from God's word, he has given you exactly what it is that you need to do. And you need to respond to him in faith. Maybe there's some area of obedience. Maybe you say that you believe a certain thing, but there's some areas of disobedience in your life. That's not truly having that right kind of faith. You need to show that evidence that you have that faith by stepping out in obedience. Can that kind of faith save? No. The right kind of faith, though, does save. It saves. We're saved by grace through faith. And that whole idea that God is so gracious that he gives us the truth. He gives us a report. And then our response is upon us. We respond in faith to him. We respond in faith. We respond to faith. We respond by faith because it is a part of faith. Faith works. Let's pray. God, thank you for the gift of grace. Thank you that you, in your mercy, goodness, when we were without hope, dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses, far from you, totally alienated from a life with you, had no hope of heaven, no hope of doing anything to save ourselves, you in your love and your grace, your mercy, you sent your son. We just give you thanks for that. And we're blown away by it. And if there's any area where our faith is running behind, where it's not moving ahead, if there's a place where we say we believe, and we might believe correctly, but we're not responding. Father, I pray that we'd be found faithful and that faith in us would produce faithfulness. Pray that if there's anybody here, anybody listening, anybody watching online who does not know you as Lord, they've never made that decision. I pray today would be the day, having heard the report, they would respond rightly. That's true faith. So we just ask that you'd help us to be a faithful people. Produce faithfulness in us. Father, may our works always reflect who you are to a world that needs it so desperately. And we know that you're always faithful. So, Father, we pray that we would be seeking that degree of faithfulness to you. We give you thanks. We give you praise. And we pray now as we respond in this time and as we respond, as we go out and live out that faith, pray that you be glorified. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.